Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Last year, we helped over 70,000 people with their civil legal needs, which we're really proud of. But over 400,000 people reached out to us through our hotline. So despite our best efforts, despite having over 230 lawyers and 450 staff in all 100 counties, we still can't help all the folks who need us.
Welcome to Justice by Design. I'm Kimberly Atkins-Store. Now, we can't really talk about justice without talking about access to justice. People need to have the tools to be able to ensure, particularly when it comes to legal issues, that their rights are protected, that they know what those rights are, and that they can navigate the complexities of the legal process. But that's not happening. In fact, according to the Justice Gap Report, most people do not have the ability to seek legal help for 92% of their legal problems. I mean, think about that. Most people, particularly people living under the poverty line. And it only gets worse. Legal aid is available, but as it stands right now in America, there are less than 3 legal aid attorneys available for every 10,000 people who are income insecure. So what does that mean for their rights? I want to talk about that. And that's why I'm so glad to be joined by Ashley Campbell, who is the CEO of Legal Aid of North Carolina. And I want to talk about that group's innovation lab. Ashley, thank you so much for joining me.
It's great to be with you.
So before we get started, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them what you do there and how this innovation lab came about?
Sure. So I'm Ashley Campbell. I'm the CEO of Legal Aid of North Carolina. We are the largest nonprofit law firm in the state of North Carolina. And as you mentioned before, we serve low-income people who need help with their civil legal matters. So in North Carolina, there are about 10.5 million people, and over 3 million people are eligible for our services, which means there are a lot of folks who financially are struggling in our state and don't have the resources that they might need to represent themselves or to find assistance for a legal matter. Because we have such a large group of people who need our help, and even though we are a very large nonprofit law firm, we can't meet that need. Last year, we helped over 70,000 people with their civil legal needs, which we're really proud of. But over 400,000 people reached out to us through our hotline. So despite our best efforts, despite having over 230 lawyers and 450 staff in all 100 counties, we still can't help all the folks who need us. So we decided that we wanted to launch an innovation lab. So the purpose of the Legal Aid of North Carolina Innovation Lab is to take advantage of all of these emerging tools that are coming out in the market that folks can access to try to get more and better information so that they can get justice in the legal system. So an example might be that folks have heard about is AI. So everyone's talking about AI right now. Folks might be using ChatGPT. They may have even gone on ChatGPT and put in a query and asked about their legal rights or a legal situation they have, and they're seeing that ChatGPT will give you some information. Well, right now, that's not completely reliable information because those tools aren't trained to give legal advice. But what we are trying to do is to train tools like ChatGPT and train other tools to give legal information, reliable legal information that people can access when they need it. So that's just an example of a way that we can use technology to try to serve more people.
So let me back up for just a minute, just so that we have a clear picture of some of the things that people may need legal help with. Because I think for some people, a lot of people maybe, when they think about needing a lawyer, it's usually in a criminal context. You know, somebody was arrested, somebody is facing some sort of charges. But the vast majority of things that an average person may need legal help with is not in the criminal realm. It's in the civil area, which you are focusing on. Can you give an idea of some of the things that people may not realize that your clinic provides help for? Let me take that out. It's not a clinic. Pumpernickel and Pumpernickel. Can you give an example of some of the things that your clients come to you for needing legal help?
Yes. And Kim, you really brought up such an important point, which is that in the United States, folks who are charged in criminal matters are entitled to a lawyer under our Constitution. So there's a constitutional right to an attorney in criminal cases. There is no such right to an attorney in civil cases. And so many people don't know that. If they've never had to interact with the court system in a civil matter, they just aren't aware. So it's such an important point to understand. So if you need custody of your child, if you are a victim of domestic violence, if your a family member has passed away and you need to probate their estate, you're not entitled to a lawyer and you might have to go pay a lawyer. And we know that in North Carolina, the average billable hour for a lawyer is about $300. And we also know that 50% of Americans cannot afford a $400 unexpected expense. So that right there tells you folks just can't always afford a lawyer even though they need them. And so that's where an organization like ours can step in. We provide legal assistance in a lot of different types of cases. Our primary cases are domestic violence and family law matters, housing matters, so helping people who are being threatened with eviction or foreclosure or who are having problems getting their landlords to make repairs to their homes. We also do a lot of representation of seniors and veterans, and we are the state's frontline legal responder when we have a disaster. And so your listeners may recall that North Carolina experienced a significant disaster this year in Hurricane Helene, and Legal Aid of North Carolina actually leads the group of legal services responders who go to the region and help people try to recover from the storm. So we do a lot of different types of work all over the state.
Yeah. And I can't stress enough that even as a lawyer, navigating the legal system, the court system itself, even setting aside, you know, understanding the law, understanding what proper procedures are, it can be really, really daunting. So this work is so crucially important to ensuring that everyone has access to justice. Justice can't just show up at your door. You have to be able to move through the system in order to get it. And that's what this work is. And that's why this innovation lab was something I really wanted to talk about. So just sort of trying to get a better understanding of this lab, it seemed to be made up of so many different aspects. One is the technological aspect that makes it not only easier for your clients to come to you and to get information from you, but also easier for the attorneys to do their work. I want you to talk a little bit more about that, but it's also a lot about collaboration, which I really love. Can you talk about that too?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Yes. So first of all, the lab does have a physical space. Our staff for the lab is located here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and it's comprised of lawyers. It's comprised of people who have provided legal services at Legal Aid in the past. It's comprised of software folks who understand software and software development and project managers. So there is a team dedicated to innovation at Legal Aid, and that's really unique. What we understood was that we needed a designated team to work on these issues, or it would never get done. I mean, we all know if you add something to a very busy person's plate, that they have lots to focus on, and it can really take a long time. And so we've made that investment through grants and funding from folks like the Legal Services Corporation and others. So it's allowed us to really focus on these projects. So as you mentioned, some of them are technology projects, some of them are external facing, like we talked about, but also internal facing. So an example of some of the things we're doing are creating processes that allow us to do automatic forms so that if someone, for example, is already in our system, we could hit a button and it would create a complaint that they can file, for example. Anything that we can do to reduce the time that that our staff has to spend on a case helps us be more efficient. It helps us to provide efficient services to that person, and then we can serve more people. About a year ago, we developed a criminal record expunction tool. So criminal record expunction is so important because criminal convictions and charges stay on folks' records for their entire lives in North Carolina unless you take some action to expunge them. And our legislature, in a bipartisan, unanimous bill, passed a remedy for that and said that, you know, once a person hasn't committed a crime after a period of time, we should be able to expunge those charges because we want people to get back to work. So that is a real priority area for us to help people find stability they need to support themselves and their families. Well, it takes about 2 hours to do a criminal record expunction case. If you use our petition generator tool, you can get that down to about 30 minutes. So you're talking about a quarter of the time that it would normally take for us to sort of do the assessment and prepare the form that we need to do. So that right there, again, is an example of if you use the tool, if you develop the tool, you can serve four times the number of people that you can serve without the tool.
Wow. Wow. And that's so important because we're seeing that gap in access. The more that people can do that, the more coverage that there is, especially if this is something that is scalable and replicable, which is also a part of that. I know.
That's exactly right. One of our goals is to be able to develop the expunction tool to be forward-facing on our website so that folks who needed certain types of expunctions could come online and access it themselves, get the forms completed online, and then just print them and file them themselves. So absolutely, it's so important for our staff and for the public.
So talk about collaborating, because you can't all do this. Like you said, you have your physical office with your people there, but it's only so big and it can only do so much. Who are you collaborating with, and how is that bringing about more innovation and more access for folks?
So first of all, we have an extraordinary leader of the Innovation Lab. Her name is Sherika Gilchrist. She has been in the legal services space for almost two decades and has an extraordinary amount of experience, both in direct client service and in operations. And so Cherie has been hitting the ground, developing relationships all over the country. She and I were at Stanford University in California last week at the Codex AI conference. There was also a UN AI conference that we were at that same week. So she is out in the community learning more about these technologies that are being developed and building relationships as we go along. Here in North Carolina, we've developed a close relationship with the Duke Law Tech Lab, the Duke Law School. We also have a close relationship with Vanderbilt Law School and its technology lab. As I mentioned before, the Legal Services Corporation, which funds legal services for all 50 states and for every county and city in America, is a partner who is funding our work. And then also working with some other folks like LexisNexis, Westlaw, and then and certainly in communications with a lot of folks who are working in the AI space, developing new and emerging AI tools to see whether we can partner with each other to build tools together that we can scale up internally and that they can use in their regular commercial business. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for collaboration and partnership. between us and really lots of different folks in these spaces.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, that it's in the nonprofit space, it's in the private sector space, that the collaboration in the educational, you know, educational institutional space with the law schools, I think that that is really important. So with all things that are thinking out of the box, right, the innovation lab itself, you're figuring out what works well and what the obstacles are in real time. So talk a little bit about the obstacles, the ones you already knew were there, and what you're finding now for legal aid organizations, for yours specifically, but also legal aid organizations more broadly.
I think one of the biggest obstacles is that the legal space seems to be lagging behind in innovation. And I thought a lot about why that is. Like, why are we slower to adopt innovation than, for example, think about the medical field. Think about when you walk into a medical office these days, you might be checking in on an iPad. You could probably access a portal on your phone with all of your meeting information with your doctor.
Right.
None of that's available in the legal space, or it's not being used widely. It might be available.
And that, just to that point, a lot of those innovations in the medical space, when you see at urgent care or doctor's offices, came because of COVID, since COVID. So they learned from COVID and then implemented that. That's exactly the kind of innovation you're talking about here, right?
That's right. And so I thought, why is the legal space lagging behind? And why are we so motivated to change that? And here's why. And I want to explain this. So there is less incentive right now in the private practice of law than there is for us to innovate. So if you think about private practice lawyers are typically paid on an hourly basis. Obviously, efficiency is very important to private practice lawyers. I used to be a private practice lawyer myself. But our goal, right, is to serve 3 million people on a very limited budget. So we have to think about how we use every dollar and is it the highest and best use so that we can serve as many people as we can. And that is the reason that we are so incentivized to pursue innovation, I think, in a way that is sort of unusual in the legal space. Now, what's so exciting about it, is it allows us to use our imagination. So one of our innovation lab signs says we are only limited by our imagination. And that goes back to your question about what's holding us back. Well, yeah, we haven't spent a lot of time as a profession imagining how we can deliver legal services differently. How could the courtroom experience be different for Americans? So that's sort of a limitation that even in law school. So, of course, I attended law school and I was also a law professor for 6 years. Even there, we're not spending a lot of time asking people across all law schools. Certainly some are, but asking them to get really creative as they think about how we deliver legal services.
No, we are not. That does not happen in the legal field at all.
That's right. So, you know, it's a limitation, but it also is what makes it an exciting space to be in because there is energy, there is enthusiasm, there are certainly pockets of folks who are being very innovative. And I think we're starting to find each other and be able to engage in some exciting projects together.
So one thing I also like about the mission of the Innovation Lab and the work that's done that is that you are listening to your clients. Your clients are also guiding you as to how you can serve them better. Can you explain a little bit about how that's happening?
Yes. So one of the great strengths, I think, that legal services, lawyers, paralegal staff, and legal services organizations have is they are so closely attuned to the needs of the community. You know, legal services organizations understand that we shouldn't go in thinking that we know the solution to the problem, that you ask the community what it needs and how to best serve that community. So I'll give you an example of something we're doing right now and how we're using our client community to help us build this. So we are working on a new intake portal that folks are going to be able to come to our website and online and do what I'm hoping is going to be a much faster, much more efficient, much more user-friendly process to apply for legal services. So it's been built out by sort of all the experts. So phase two is testing, and we're going to be doing that testing with board members at Legal Aid who are client eligible board members and other nonprofit partners, community partners who send clients to us and know what their needs are. So they're going to be testing, they're testing this product with us, giving us feedback on how to make it work better for the community. We're integrating their feedback before we launch the product.
So what do you need at this moment? You've had this lab for a little while now. What do you and other legal aid organizations need in this moment?
The most important need for us right now are unrestricted financial resources. And this is what I mean by that. We've had some great luck getting grants from organizations to do specific projects, and we're working on those, and we're so grateful for that support. But sometimes we need to, maybe we need to hire a software developer for the lab, or we have additional needs that we need to actually be able to launch and scale some of these ideas that we have that don't fit with inside the parameters of these specific grants. So we really need unrestricted money that we can use to build and scale up faster. So what we've been looking at is, you know, we're building things that in the private space are funded by a venture capital. So we've been looking at venture philanthropy, right? There are a lot of people in the venture space and the tech space that understand what we're doing and understand how it can totally transform the way legal services are delivered. And so we're trying to talk to those folks. We do have a $3 million innovation fund that we are fundraising for right now. And so we're reaching out to folks to try to bring more resources so that we can get these products launched and built. You know, what's really the biggest investments on the front end, right, to build the products. Now, there is some obviously cost to maintain them over time, but what we need really is that initial seed investment.
So can you talk a little bit about one thing I really love and have learned from doing this podcast is how so much of the innovation in terms of bringing justice to light, making it a reality, isn't from the top down. It's not based on what's happening here in Washington, D.C. It's happening on the local level. It's happening on the community level. And this is a perfect example of that. What advice would you give to other legal aid organizations across the country, other local, locally community-based organizations about how they can better serve their clients and bridge that gap to access to justice?
In the nonprofit space, our resources are always limited. And that's true for any nonprofit anywhere. And so it can be really difficult to designate resources to this work when we've got people knocking on the door. They need our help today, right? They don't want to wait on a tool that we're developing that we're not going to have ready for 6 months or a year. And that's hard for us because the people who work at this organization are so committed to direct client services. We really care about our clients, and it's really hard to say no. What I would say to other organizations is not necessarily you have to say no, but just to understand that if you can commit to the kind of investments that we're making around even process improvement, it doesn't necessarily have to be technology improvement. You know, looking at all of your processes across the organization and thinking about how can we make ourselves function better and better for our clients. If we make that investment, we actually may be able to serve more people and serve them better after we do that work. That's certainly what our goal is, and that's what we believe that we're going to be able to do, but it can just be tough. So I would say have courage, and you have to be really intentional about the financial planning. The last thing I'll say is this, because this has been successful for us. We have gone to some funders specifically for capacity building around this. So we've told them, these are our plans. We need to build a capacity maybe in our innovation lab, or maybe we need to build capacity on our technology team to help us be able to scale some of these projects. And they have funded a position, for example. So that's a very specific way that folks might want to get funding and financial support to support their longer term goals.
Those are really, really great points. Ashley, thank you so much for joining me today. This is an issue that I think is easy to be missed on people's radars, but it really gets to the heart of how you ensure that justice is attainable in this country. So thank you for your work, and thank you for joining me today on Justice by Design.
Thank you so much. We always love to talk about the Innovation Lab and appreciate this opportunity.
You know, conversations like this one are really why I wanted to do this podcast, is because not only does justice and the solutions to our problems come from the bottom up, from communities, from organizations working with each other, from reaching across different disciplines, where it's nonprofits or for-profits and educational institutions, that is really where the difference is being made. That's where we are learning how to do things better. That is where we are sharing ideas, collaborating, and scaling up and multiplying. And before you know it, there is a different way of operating in our society. That's where it comes from. It takes a lot of effort, but it also takes a lot of people. And that includes you. So one thing that I would love to do, and I'm just brainstorming here, is maybe each of you think about how you are designing justice this week. It could be finding out who your local legal aid organization is and, you know, asking them what their needs are, or making a donation, or supporting a project that does bring legal aid together with local universities or others. If you're a lawyer, maybe volunteering some of your time, maybe letting people know what is available. If you have people in your life who need help with anything, it could be about a tax issue. It could be about, you know, a family law issue. It could be, you know, somebody who needs help navigating the consumer rights of their state, if someone who they've worked with may have violated them. This is the stuff that Americans need, because conflicts like that can really upend your life. So it could be in this space, it could be in another space. It could just be supporting someone who has lost their job in these turbulent times. It could be volunteering, it could be giving your time, your money, your ideas. It can come in any number of ways, and it's accessible. That is accessible to all of us to do. So I want you to think about how you're going to design justice this week. And feel free to let me know what you're doing. You can tag me on social media or the podcast Justice by Design or Politicon, and let us know. I would love to see the things that you have been doing or that you plan to do now to be a part of the solution, right along with the folks I talk to on this podcast. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week with another episode. And if you enjoy Justice by Design, please give 5 stars. Take care and talk to you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.